Do you want to do more than follow orders? Think outside of the box and manifest your dreams? Then you've come to the right show. Welcome to the award-winning podcast, Holding Down the Fort by U.S. VetWealth. I'm your host, Jen Amos, a Gold Star daughter, veteran spouse, and entrepreneur. For season 8, we continue our wonderful partnership with the Rosie Network to highlight motivational stories of personal growth, financial awareness, and autonomy in our military community. We're also excited to showcase our partnership with Blue Water Advisors. Well, we have a lot in store for you this season, so let's get started. All right, everyone, welcome back to Holding Down the Fort by U.S. Vet Wealth in partnership with the Rosie Network and Blue Water Advisors. Today is Thursday, and if you've been following along, you'll know that today is more about employment stories versus Mondays, where it's about entrepreneurial stories. You know, all in the name of sharing motivational stories for you of personal growth, financial awareness, and autonomy in our military community. So for this episode, Scott and Mike, Scott is my husband, and Mike Wallace is our partner here at Blue Water Advisors, and they bring on Todd Flannery. So let me go ahead and introduce them all to you. This conversation is about negotiating benefits before accepting job offers. And, you know, Thursdays is a day where I take a step back and I showcase what my husband does for our side of the business or for his side of the business. And very often he'll host a weekly show with Mike Wallace. And so this is no different. So Scott, Mike, and Todd Flannery discuss the differences between military and civilian benefits, specifically paid time off and holidays. They are also joined by Blue Water Advisors career progression consultant, which you'll learn what all that is about, Todd Flannery. The group discusses the importance of understanding a company's total compensation package, including vacation policies, negotiating for paid time off, and flexible arrangements. They cover trends in remote work and how priorities can change over different career stages. Overall, they encourage military retirees to do research on potential employers before accepting job offers, consider all aspects of compensation during negotiations, and learn from experiences transitioning between different work environments and companies. Very, very insightful conversation, especially for, you know, military retirees seeking employment opportunities in post-military. I hope that you will enjoy this. And until then, happy listening or watching, because this is also available on YouTube, which we will provide in the show notes of this episode. And I will reconnect with you all in the post commentary. Enjoy.
Okay, we are live. Welcome back. I'm Scott Tucker with U.S. VetWealth here with Mike Norm Wallace from Blue Water Advisors to have another Take a Knee Tuesday conversation. We thought we'd talk a little bit about the differences between active duty. There's benefits, but specifically around the vacation time. When do you get holidays, time off, and some adjustment for that? Me personally, I've been self-employed for over a decade, so I recognized how nice it was to have the military paid vacation, so to speak. And while I kind of get to dictate that for myself, being self-employed, you know, I saw a lot of clients and friends going through retirement, getting out of the military and just having a big shock when it came to, oh, I don't get nearly as much time off, or maybe my schedule's not quite as structured as I thought it'd be. All of a sudden, I'm flying across the country when I wouldn't expect to go consult somewhere or whatever it might be. You know, with the Labor Day weekend and us enjoying those nice four-day weekends, especially if you're stationed overseas, I think we get extra days off. Yeah, that doesn't happen in the civilian world. So, you know, Mike, I figured you've probably got a lot of experience yourself on this, and let alone, you know, what's going on today in the marketplace. Hey, are these bargaining tools? How much do you leverage this conversation when you're going through the process? How important is it to an individual when they're thinking about, you know, it's time to stop following orders and get out of the military and make my own life? Oh, wait, you know, I got to go do what the employer says. So it's yet another dilemma, a stressful thing. I'm not going to have as much time as I assumed I would have by not being in the military. So
yeah,
and we're lucky to have Todd Flannery with us today. I'm assuming recent. Mike, I'll let you do the full introduction.
Sure.
Go ahead, Ben.
It's great, and it's a great topic. I look forward to jumping into it. But before we do, Todd Flannery joining us here. Todd is one of our, I say fairly recent, and I'll say official, Todd, right? One of our career refreshing consultants. Todd's been with us since way back in 2021, Todd. I didn't look it up, but I know you joined us early on when we started hosting a lot of these career progression cohorts, right? And Todd was a great part of that, took an interest in it. Retired post-major command, so he's a retired Navy captain, just like myself. A Hilo background guy, right? Spent some time as Commodore. When he worked his transition, spent some time actually in Amazon. So we can go back and have those discussions if we want to kind of jump in there. But he's currently up in Washington, D.C., business development, working that for a company called ATI Allegheny Technologies out there in D.C. So Todd, I hope I got most of that right off the cuff there and kind of gives everybody a quick little bit of insight about you. So thanks for making the time to join us.
Absolutely, Norm. Yep, you got it all right.
To your point, Scott, right? I mean, you know, it is coming more in vogue, I think, for members to have these conversations. The first thing that our members, you know, maybe it kind of jumps out as them is they reach that point in the conversation where they're negotiating compensation, right? And they think it's solely about compensation. What many of our members realize, and I see Todd already smiling here, is it's about everything. It's not just about compensation. You know, we throw the moniker on it, the label, right? It's your total comp plan, but that's not just monetary. You're going to have conversations potentially about what we call PTO, paid time off, right? Those vacation and those holidays, you know, much of that often is negotiable, right? And we see the full spectrum, I think, Todd, right? I mean, guys will start, you know, a new job. Sometimes I've seen it where a company or employer doesn't offer any PTO and you accrue it as you go through time with the company. Sometimes you can negotiate starting with a pile of PTO or paid time off and accrue a little bit. Some of it treat it as use-lose. In other words, you use it during the year, but you don't carry any over. Some companies will allow you to carry some over to a set level, right? So it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? And so members have got to educate themselves. So coming off a holiday weekend, right, we enjoy this. That may not be, right, you know, the standard for every company out there. And Todd, I'll segue back to our time at Amazon. Well, I forget the blackout periods, but it was somewhere around Thanksgiving through, I don't know, New Year's or something like that. I mean, that period, the company had a policy and said, you're not taking any time off, really. I mean, there might be short windows where you maybe got a Christmas day in there or something, but there are a lot of teams that worked right through that and you had to have people doing the heavy lifting and the hard job, right? So again, understand what it is you're getting into and don't just take it for granted, right? In many cases, going to be a negotiated outcome. Todd, any other thoughts on that? I mean, from our time at Amazon, I know that was maybe unique. And, well, actually, and compared to ATI, I don't know, you know, what your experience has been.
Yeah, actually, let me ask Todd to build on that question a little bit by give us the 30,000 foot view of your retirement process, your job hunting, and how much this part of the conversation came up for you and your family.
Yeah. Well, Scott, thanks very much. Norm, I agree with everything that you said there. From the 30,000 foot view, when I joined Amazon, I didn't do a lot of things right and didn't quite understand the total compensation package that Norm talked about. I can't say whether the position I went into that was going to be negotiable or not, specifically when it came to time off, but quickly learned about having that as part of your compensation package. And then when I made my progression from Amazon to my current job, it became a lot more visible to me. And understood, eyes wide open going in, what the vacation time was with ATI and was able to leverage that in my decision to ultimately come work for ATI. So it varies from company to company. As Norm said, you know, it varies from holiday to holiday. There are certain holidays that we get off at ATI and there are others that aren't. And the old days of, I'm going back 6+ years, of that 96-hour lib, that doesn't exist, at least not where I've seen it. Okay, it's probably out there somewhere, but it's not a standard.
Yeah,
exactly.
Now, we all managed when we were wearing uniform to stretch into 112 or whatever, you know. It's like, yeah, right. We stretched on both ends.
And like, you know, it's, I think this is a common theme that, hey, we want to get our first gig out of the military and have it be the best, you know, perfect situation. Hopefully we did everything right, but clearly there's going to be learning curves. I mean, for asking both of you, do you think it's almost just, you got to get into that first job and just see how things play out before you start thinking about, you know, nuancing this too much? Like, oh, I want to get certain amount of times, but then you never know if you're at a company which is like, oh, we just don't do that day here, or we don't allow that much time. Like, yeah. is there just a little bit of tough love and just kind of, hey, I got to show up, you know, as part of them, anything you got to learn, switching over. It's just, maybe we should put this type of thing on a back burner, or should we move it up higher in the priority list than it's typically moved up?
Well, let's see. Your comment kind of struck a chord with me when you said, hey, we just got to step up, take a swing, step in, and just kind of do this. Mm-hmm. The danger of that is, we are fairly confident in saying our membership that comes to us, that walks through the door, that we, you know, are their enduring partner until they find their next success and land someplace. The danger is, again, not to speak in absolutes, but fairly confident in saying our membership, if they're not happy where they land, they will leave. And we articulate that to them a lot. So we kind of spin that all the way back to come to the discussion. Do a lot of homework up front. There's value in doing this. There is value in building a strategy. There is value in figuring out what are those things you want to preserve. If having 14 days a year paid time off is a big rock for you to put into your strategy, you know, then I would say build your plan around that. And if you somehow land someplace where you only get 3 days of PTO a year, just as an example, right? You may not be completely fulfilled or happy in that environment. And the clock is ticking until you will just go, you know what, this is not a good fit for me, and I'm going to step out. So we encourage members to do that homework up front, right? And now I can't promise everybody that you're going to land on the best fit every single time, right? But I don't want you to be confused that should be the goal. The goal is, I want people to land at a good place for them right away, right? Todd, any other thoughts on that? It kind of gets into this strategy discussion. I know you're looking at that for our September. You know, it kind of gets into that a little bit, but yeah, I mean, we've lived it, right?
Yeah, I have. And I think it's important to, just as you take a look at what you want to do holistically. I knew coming into this job what my vacation was going to be, and that was acceptable for me. And it it's a little different than what I had at Amazon. It's definitely different than the vacation I enjoyed in the Navy, but I knew what it was. I knew what to look for. I had an idea going in that at least this part, the paid time off, was fit into what I wanted from a job. And as it turns out, it's been exactly what I needed. You know, could I make some tweaks to it? Sure. But it wasn't a showstopper for me. But I think just making sure that you're aware of what you're walking into is a big bonus.
How has the recent work from home phenomena played into all this, just in general? Do people need to take less time off? Do they try to coordinate it more? Are there more opportunities to negotiate that part of it? Because let's face it, working from home, you're saving time one way or the other, not driving. Whether or not you're more productive or not is another question. Yeah. But this has got to come into the conversation at some point. Because whether companies are moving to 3 day weeks or 4 day weeks, there's all sorts of changes going on as part of the competition to recruit people, right? Because we're trying to offer different reasons to get you to join this company versus another one. So, you know, are those things that you can also kind of keep in your back pocket? Is that considered a benefit, the work from home?
You know, I would love to know what Todd thinks about this. And just so the audience knows, we haven't got together before. We haven't teed up any, aligned response here. Two things jump.
I'm genuinely curious.
No. I mean, it's a good question. So I personally think that that's a huge amount of flexibility. I like, as I think maybe a lot of workers would like that benefit. But let's talk trends right now, right? The trend, and we're doing a lot of posting on this. So for members, if you'll go to our LinkedIn page, and if you want to follow Blue Water Advisors, you can certainly do that. But we've got a lot of articles that was posted, sent to me by a member, Joe Kerrigan, up in DC, and he shot it to me. And it's a Washington Post article. And there are quite a few businesses that are trying to get away from this that recognize that their workforce just didn't riff the same long term in a remote, you know, kind of status. That's not to say that a lot of these companies are going one or the other, but they're definitely weaning it down. In fact, I just read an article, plan, even from, I think, Andy Jassy, right, at Amazon. He just said, hey, minimum 3 days in the office, right? And we prefer more, but they're reeling the workforce back in. And that's not uncommon from a lot of companies that are out there. I mean, I know you work remote, Flan, right?
I mean, I did.
I'm assuming you would see it as a benefit and some flexibility, but.
Yeah, it definitely was a benefit. I came on board right at the height of COVID. So when I reported on board, I say it's a benefit, but one of the negative parts was it took me a good 6 months before I even met someone new outside of my own office company. Yeah, we are a large publicly traded company, and we've got sites across the U.S., but you know, my onboarding, 50% of it was done via a meeting like this, and that made it really difficult to establish those personal connections. As we started to come out of the pandemic, I found it beneficial to be able to come back into the office and spend a lot of time here. Now, it helps that the office is full of good people, people I enjoy working with. But it is a benefit to be able to, you know, say, hey, I've got to be at home today because dog is sick, child is sick, whatever the case may be, and being able to be fully remote. My position allows me to do that. But I also have to, you know, take into account that some of the folks that I work with are actually on an operations floor and they're not at home. So I've got to balance that between what I need, what the company needs, and how that goes. But Scott, to your question, is it a benefit? I see it as a benefit to be able to work at home for several of the reasons that you mentioned. And I'm happy to have that opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's
maybe to articulate it a little bit sharper than that, having the latitude to pick and choose your work environment that best suits you throughout the week, right? I mean, because you clearly articulated there are times where you liked to be in the office, you wanted to engage with those good people that you are with, but having the flexibility to have a day or two that you could work remote if you wanted to, you know, that's important too. And again, for the membership, and what I would kind of put in your hip pocket there, this is something that could be negotiated, right? It's these kind of things that many of our members come to us and they go, oh, I thought it was just a compensation negotiation, how much I'm getting paid. Doesn't have to be, right? It can be all those things. Hey, you know, is the company receptive to remote work 25% of the time, up to 25%, you know, whatever it happens to be? Get those answers out early.
Mike, you always talk about strategy, you know, thinking about, hey, what are your priorities? And Todd, I want to get your thoughts on how your priorities changed from that, you know, first, you know, job search you went on, you know, prior to landing at Amazon, and then during your progression. But from my perspective, I think, you know, about a couple things when it comes to time off or work at home. It's like, you know, obviously, do I like the job that I want to stay in? But you kind of mentioned, hey, my coworkers, you know, as you're getting to know, maybe you have a great job opportunity, they pay you well, you like what you do, but for some reason, maybe you don't feel like the relationships in the company are going to be the best fit for you. Well, maybe you can work from home and leverage that, and that aspect of the job won't be as negative. Or on the flip side, what if it's just an awesome work environment and you're like, hey, I'm not so worried about taking having as much paid time off because, hey, I love going to the office because the people are awesome and I can kind of work from home and they're really flexible there. So maybe I don't need to negotiate for extra time off and I can be more flexible that I don't have to use sick days if the kid's sick and stay at home. Like, those are other things to leverage. I'm just, whether it's not those points specifically or not, Todd, I'm just wondering, what are your various priorities, how they shift, you know, right when you're coming out of the military versus the second time around or the new progression?
Yeah, Scott, that's a really good question. And I hadn't really thought about it until I was trying to catch up with you asking it. Leaving the military and starting at Amazon, you know, the work from home wasn't really an option for me. Unlike Norm, where we got to take his dog today, I was actually out on the Alps floor and had to work every day. Sorry, Norm, we couldn't help it. No, Norm did great work, really important work too. So I only really started to think about that coming into my current position. And as you were framing that question, I think for me personally, the paid time off is more important because of the flexibility that I have at work. And you talk about office culture. That's extremely important to me. And it may be old school, you know, from an old dude like me, but I like being around people. I like being with the people I work with and being able to walk outside of my office, to the next door, knock on the door and say, hey, you got 10 minutes to talk about this with me, instead of trying to catch somebody on a Teams call or a Zoom call or whatever that mode of communication is. So for me, paid vacation, much more important than the flexibility to be able to work from home. But that's, I think Norm will echo this. And I think that's what Blue Water preaches, is each individual is going to have a unique situation. There's not going to be a broad brush application to days off versus the ability to work from home versus the ability to, or the requirement to be in the office. So Norm, any other thoughts?
No, I loved how you kind of wove that into your answer, right? You know, Blue Water, we've been doing this now. We're wrapping up our third year. We're about ready to start year four. I have yet to see anybody's negotiation, anybody's landing, anybody's pursuit. They're all unique. They truly are. None of them have we seen are the same. Everybody approaches it with a different strategy. Everybody has different big rocks that they want to try to preserve. Everybody has different desires, companies and industries they want to pursue, things they want to do. I mean, and so when it comes down to negotiating what's important to you, whether it's more paid time off or, you know, a flexible work environment, I think everybody's going to have a unique approach. The one commonality that I would put out to all of our members is do your homework, right? We absolutely encourage, before you jump, understand what is negotiable, what is not, what is on the table, what does this mean? Understand that early on and be prepared. And that's absolutely, Scott, you know, you've been around us long enough. I mean, you know, we're reaching a point now where we've got hundreds and hundreds of individuals that have been through the pipeline. We can shed light on what it looks like, right? We can shed light on a lot of those questions that you have, kind of remove the fog of war, if you will, and let's shine some light on this. And we can absolutely explain it to you and show you, you know, some things that you may want to think about negotiating when the time comes, right?
And so, yeah, Todd, that brings me to kind of, I think this would be a good question to wrap up the conversation on a little bit. Maybe separate, I mean, maybe it'll include kind of things like vacation and time off, but I'm curious, given that every student that's gone through Mike's program, as he said, has had a different landing report, you couldn't glean everything from Blue Water going through the program, of course. What's maybe one thing that you kind of just figured out yourself, or just something maybe you would wish you would have caught earlier that you would share to, you know, any aspect of the last few years? Is there a little secret that you're like, I figured this out, that somebody else, it just didn't occur to you prior to that? There's just something unique you learned during your experience so far.
I think, yes, the thing I figured out, and it took a little while, but I think it was, I learned it in the military, but it applied to both of my applications and jobs, is don't be afraid to admit failure, but make sure that you explain how you recovered from that failure. And failure is a scary word. You can say mistake or whatever you want. But I think that resonated the most in several of the interviews I had, was being able to articulate how I failed, but more importantly, how I recovered and how I engaged with my peers, my seniors, subordinates, however you want to do it. But being able to clearly articulate how you made a situation better. It's like I said, no one likes to talk failure, but it's really, really important, I think, to get across there. And I think one of you asked what I might have learned, really, really understand the market to which you're going into, and to the theme of this, understand the full compensation package. It's really, really important.
I appreciate that, because we had a recent viewer mention that their employer, defense contractor, who's, I guess the CEO is civilian or whatever, and they said, I don't want to hire any more 05s and 06s because they always tell us what to do. And I'm sure there's a little bit of that, but at the end of the day, mistakes, failures, lessons learned. I mean, that's what I always learned from the military, is we would do the after action review. And it's just, hey, it's the simplest thing to take in the civilian world. They don't have nifty phrases like that. They just get yelled at or fired. And we have this unique ability to, you know, suck it up, drive on, you know, adapt and overcome, you know, all the buzzwords. But that stuff's real. It might feel awkward and icky because in the civilian landscape, it's a different kind of getting in trouble or a different kind of reward. And you got to, I guess, kind of find your own way to relate to that. Does that sound about right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's a perfect way to put it, Scott.
Cool. Well, awesome, guys. Well, I wanted to keep this short and sweet since we had, Todd on and I'm in a remote. Todd came on, kind of last minute. So I appreciate you joining. I'm sure you got to get back to that that real work today. Anything else that you want to leave us with, Todd?
No, thanks. Well, I say no, and then I start talking. Scott, thanks very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Norm, thanks again for the invite. This is fantastic. And, for the listening audience and folks that end up watching this, please pay attention to what Norm is putting out there and what Scott offer you. It is invaluable, and it will help you as you start your career progression. It is just invaluable information that I've taken advantage of, and I hope that you do the same. So again, Scott, Norm, thanks so much.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks, Scott. And I echo all of that Flan said there. And if you couldn't tell by his responses, right, I love the credibility that Todd brings to the table here. And for the listeners, you're probably sitting there scratching your head. There's no less than thousands of organizations out there in the ocean of goodwill. What makes Blue Water different? Well, you got somebody like Todd who's been there, done that, and he's going to be a key part of walking you through as an enduring partner to your next success, right? And hey, if you want to build a house, you can read it out of a book, or you can go to the architect and the builder and actually do it, right? And that's the same approach here, right? The credibility of having been a hiring manager, the credibility of having experiences in corporate America, defense industry, right? Government contracting, whatever your swim lane happens to be, those are the individuals that we look to kind of bring to the table here to reinforce the message out here. And Scott, in your case, right, in that financial industry, that SVP, insight that I can't speak for Flan, but you and I have had this conversation. I felt very rushed. It was almost a little bit of a hostile conversation when it was thrust upon me. Hey, you either do this or you don't. And if you're not going to do this, you got to have your wife sign this piece of paper and you got to come back. And it was like this big, just man, it was a little bit threatening, right? And if for nothing else, that's how I made my decision. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody else. I want people to make an informed decision. And Scott, you bring that to the table, right? Thanks, Steve. We'll get you next time. I see Steve Wieman popping in there. Also, tall enough to ride the ride, right? Love it. So, but anyway, Scott, I just say thank you for you make the time. You make, our members' time priority. You explain to them, just really what they need to understand about the program so they can make the right decision for them. So thank you for that. And thanks for having us on board. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I love the idea of just kind of getting some random thoughts out there that might not come up right away, when you're thinking about getting salaries and stuff. So thinking about this kind of vacation topic was unique because, hey, talk to the cohort members and graduates have already gotten hired by jobs and ask them, what is it like to work from home in the civilian world as opposed to working from home from the military world? It's very different because you're still accountable in different ways. And they're a little more cutthroat in the civilian world if things aren't working out right. So, but we got to take that from both sides. You have control as the employee to decide, who you want to work for. So we want to give you the power to do that. So, well, cool guys. Well, no, awesome. Really appreciate the conversation. And for anybody listening, hey, shoot us your topics. Let Mike or I know if there's something you want us to talk about. If you'd like to come on like Todd and join us, Todd, you're welcome back anytime you have something you want to share, or if you got something you want to talk about your company, if you're doing hiring, we can use this as a way to showcase stuff as well.
So, thanks, Scott.
And we're doing this by ear. So any thoughts or feedback on how we can best do this show, we appreciate it. But for now, see you next week. All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye, Scott.
Thanks, Todd.
You're welcome. See you, Norm.
Hey, this is your host, Jen Amos. Thanks again for listening to today's episode of Holding Down the Fort by US Vet Wealth. Visit holdingdownthefortpodcast.com to access the full show notes of this episode, including resources mentioned and bonus content. Once again, that's holdingdownthefortpodcast.com. Lastly, stay after this outro music for something a little extra. Thanks again and chat soon. Bye for now. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the post commentary of this conversation, episode 193 with Scott Tucker, my husband, Mike Wallace, and Todd Flannery from Blue Water Advisors. I got to say that this has just been an amazing partnership with our company and theirs to talk about employment opportunities in post-military and how to achieve that successfully, including in this case, negotiating your benefits before accepting job offers. I think it's very common for transitioning military service members to just get the first job that is available to them. And I do recall, whether it's this conversation or upcoming conversations, Mike Wallace says that, you know, the downside of just trying to get that first paycheck after post-military is that there's often a high turnover rate with the veterans who do that. And so my hope is that in sharing these conversations with you all, that you will work smartly. You'll work smart in finding a job offer, taking a job offer that'll hopefully, you know, last you a long time, especially for this next career in your life, or career progression, as they call it here. If you want to learn more about Mike and Blue Water Advisors, be sure to check out the show notes of this episode. If you want more bonus content with Scott and Mike, you can always join our portal for free by visiting holdingonthefortpodcast.com/portal. Not only will you get access to, you know, past conversations with Scott and Mike, you'll also get additional resources and education on financial planning, especially when it revolves around the survivor benefit plan, through a savings plan. And, you know, for our show, you'll get access to our private podcast, Inside the Fort, where I give you a little more candid commentary about the journey of being an entrepreneur and a podcaster. And we may or may not be also sharing bonus content from the guest on our show. So if any of that sounds appealing to you, remember, you can go to holdingonthefortpodcast.com/portal. And I hope to see you there. Until then, have a great weekend, and we will see you all again on Monday. Bye for now.